Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eve, Editor-in-Chief of the Journal, coming to you today with something that's brand new. A number of people in a variety of contexts have suggested they would enjoy audio versions of the papers that we published, and wanting nothing more than to give you good value, we decided to give it a try. This podcast is one of a few produced by asking intrepid authors to read their article verbatim for your listening pleasure. We'll judge the value of this pilot by download rate, podcast ratings, and any tweets you care to send promoting the initiative. If you'd like to give feedback, please email me at kevin.eva@ubc.ca. And if you like this initiative, we'll continue doing it as long as we can find authors who are willing to engage.
Hello, my name is Justin Sewell, and today I will be reading our original research article entitled How Do Attending Physicians Describe Cognitive Overload Among Their Workplace Learners? I'll be reading this on behalf of myself and my co-authors, Lakshmi Santosh and Patricia O'Sullivan. Introduction. Workplace learning in health professions education settings is extremely complex and challenging. In the classroom, learners are the primary focus and the setting is controllable and predictable. However, in the workplace, learners represent one of many stakeholder groups, and the environment is rarely controllable and predictable and may even be chaotic. These elements may expose health professions education workplace learners to excessive levels of cognitive load. Cognitive load theory can help guide workplace teachers and learners to consider how working memory resources are utilized during workplace learning. Cognitive load theory is a learning theory focused on the limited capacity of the working memory. In comparison with sensory or long-term memory, which are theoretically infinite, working memory can manage only a few pieces of information at a time. Three different types of activity impose on working memory capacity. Intrinsic load occurs when learners complete learning tasks or portions thereof. Germane load occurs when learners create or refine learning schemas that are stored in long-term memory and can be readily accessed for future performance and task automation. Extraneous load occurs when working memory resources are used unproductively, such as when learners focus attention on internal or external distractions, or when teaching approaches or materials require additional attention and focus. Extraneous load interferes with learning, whereas developmentally appropriate amounts of intrinsic and germane load are necessary for learning. Whenever the collective burdens placed on working memory exceed its processing capacity, learning and performance suffer, a state that is labeled cognitive overload. A growing body of literature suggests that cognitive load theory informs workplace teaching and learning in health professions education settings. Prior research in health professions education workplaces has investigated how cognitive load can be measured, contributors to cognitive load, how teaching strategies affect cognitive load, and how cognitive load affects learning and performance. A recent scoping review revealed multiple studies that use continuous physiologic measures, such as heart rate variability, eye tracking, skin conductance, and responses to secondary tasks to identify states of high cognitive load within simulated workplace settings and tests. Although these studies showed clear inverse relationships between cognitive load and performance, they did not address practical methods of identifying overloaded learners in everyday workplace settings. The review noted that knowledge gaps remain, and that strategies for teachers and learners to identify, articulate, and act upon learner cognitive overload in real time during the course of actual workplace teaching are lacking. Other considerations of this topic include a commentary. As workplace learners are exposed to high levels of cognitive load, and because cognitive overload interferes with learning, identifying overloaded workplace learners in real time is crucial. This could lead workplace teachers to adjust how and when they teach particular learners, and lead learners to articulate and act upon feelings of overload, both which might help to reduce cognitive overload and promote learning. To address this gap, we designed this study to address the primary research question, what manifestations of cognitive overload do attending physicians describe in their workplace learners? We qualitatively investigated trainee behaviors described by workplace teachers in two different health professions education workplace environments, the gastrointestinal endoscopy suite and the intensive care unit. Both environments involve frequent direct supervision by attending physicians, which increases potential insights into how cognitive overload might manifest. Both environments can be highly complex and confer high levels of risk for cognitive overload. However, as these two environments have very different team structures, work structures, and primary tasks and objectives, cognitive overload may manifest differently between them. We therefore sought to address a secondary research question. Do intensivists, hospitalists, and gastrointestinal endoscopists report similar or different manifestations in learners whom they perceive to be cognitively overloaded? To address these research questions, we analyzed physicians' perceptions of trainee behaviors captured in prior interviews. Methods, design, participants, and procedures. We performed a qualitative study to elicit the experiences of teachers likely to have observed overloaded learners. We used transcripts generated in the course of two previous studies within the gastrointestinal endoscopy and intensive care unit environments, both of which involved semi-structured interviews and utilized critical incident technique. We considered these two settings as emblematic of a predominantly procedural environment and a predominantly cognitive environment, respectively. The first group consisted of experienced gastrointestinal endoscopy teachers from the United States of America, Canada, and the Netherlands. The purpose of that study was to examine, from the perspective of participants, the learning challenges they saw their endoscopy learners experience, and the teaching strategies they used to promote learning. The study involved an inductive thematic analysis that was informed by cognitive load theory. The second group comprised the hospitalists and intensivists who taught in intensive care units at two large urban hospitals in the United States. The purpose of that study was to examine educational barriers and affordances to teaching and learning in the ICU. The study involved an inductive thematic analysis that was primarily informed by the framework of shared mental models. Neither of the previous studies were primarily designed to study cognitive overload, and neither reported on the phenomenon. However, as contributing author to both studies, JLS was interested in studying the construct of cognitive overload and included in both studies a specific question about overwhelmed learners. This term, rather than cognitively overloaded, was chosen out of concern that participants would not be familiar with the latter term. Additionally, both studies included questions about critical incidents in which some participants discussed learners whom they perceived as cognitively overloaded. We therefore considered the data appropriate to address our research questions. To rigorously address the aims of the present study, we removed all prior coding and undertook a new content analysis and developed a new set of code and themes. Interview guides for the two earlier studies are accessible in the appendices. Coding. After reading and memoing several transcripts, the authors met to inductively develop a preliminary set of codes indicating behaviors participants said indicated an overloaded learner. They applied these codes to six transcripts and then met to discuss and confirm shared understanding of the codes, making edits as needed. They continued to code for their transcripts and engaged in discussion after coding every several transcripts to ensure similar understanding and application of codes. Minor codebook changes were made as needed. All transcripts were coded by two authors using deduce. Analysis. We performed content analysis to interpret meaning from how participants described manifestations of cognitive overload among their workplace learners. Although cognitive load theory served as our theoretical framework, we sought to characterize the phenomenon of cognitive overload itself, and hence performed a conventional content analysis in which codes are derived directly from the text. Each author was familiar with at least some of the transcript content, see reflexivity below, yet we performed analysis inductively. Throughout the coding process and after its completion, the authors met to discuss concepts present in the data and developed an agreed-upon set of concepts and themes. Through discussion, the authors agreed on how to contextualize and discuss themes. Reflexivity. All authors have formal training and experience in health professions education research, including qualitative methods. The authors include an educationalist, PSOS, an intensivist, LS, and a gastroenterologist, JLS. Two authors, PSOS and JLS, have significant experience in studying cognitive load theory in the context of health professions education workplace learning. The author's expertise enabled them to understand the clinical and educational contexts of the study participants, which facilitated richer data analysis and interpretation. With regard to the primary coding of the transcript, JLS had previously coded transcripts from both sources, whereas LS had coded ICU transcripts, and PSOS had read excerpts from GI endoscopy transcripts. Although the author's familiarity with prior studies of cognitive load theory and cognitive load measurement, and the environments of GI endoscopy and the ICU informed their reading, interpretation, and coding of transcripts, the coding process itself was undertaken using an inductive approach. Throughout the coding process, the authors engaged in discussion to ensure that codes arose from and were supported by the data, and were not imposed by the author's existing knowledge and experiences. The author's prior knowledge informed data presentation and manuscript preparation. Results. We analyzed all transcripts from both studies, which included 42 interviews with 22 GI endoscopists, 12 hospitalists, and 8 intensivists. 15 participants, 35.7%, were women. Participants reported a mean plus or minus standard deviation of 11.4 plus or minus 7.3 years of workplace teaching experience. Participants described purposively monitoring learners for evidence of their being overwhelmed or cognitively overloaded by observing them within the workplace, eavesdropping on conversations, discussing learners' cognitive states with other team members, and checking in directly with learners. For example, hospitalist 2 said, "You can tell a lot by listening to learners talking to the patients. The way they talk to consultants, you can figure out if they're overwhelmed." Endoscopist 2 said, "Whenever I start with a learner, when I haven't been with them for a while, the first procedure or two, I just observe to see what's going on." And Intensivist 8 said, "Once I had an ICU attending pull me aside because they thought the intern was overwhelmed. Somebody else tells me that they're overwhelmed, and sometimes a little bit of eavesdropping. I separate myself off a little bit to give what I think is space to do their work. I rely heavily on the resident to triage some of that because they're probably more likely to admit that they're overwhelmed to their resident than they are to their attending." Through these observations, participants perceived some learners to be cognitively overloaded or overwhelmed. They made these decisions based on 4 types of evidence: performance, nonverbal physical manifestations, verbal utterances, and interpersonal interactions. Some participants related specific examples of overloaded learners, whereas others described manifestations more generally. Performance. Participants perceived poor performance on common workplace tasks to be the most common manifestation of a cognitively overloaded learner. Although the specific tasks differed between the endoscopy unit and the ICU, participants from both settings inferred that performance on those tasks was below the level they would have expected for the learners they described. Endoscopists primarily described psychomotor examples of poor performance, such as the learner failing to effectively move the endoscope forward within the patient, not attempting new maneuvers to get through an area of difficulty, or making maneuvers that were ineffectual, inefficient, or appeared purposeless. For example, endoscopist 16 said, "You can just tell you've been in the same place in the colon for a little while. Sometimes you're literally not moving. You realize you're trying to traverse the same thing." One endoscopist described a learner perceived as overloaded thusly. This is from endoscopist 6. "She was struggling and doing the same thing over and over again, finding out it didn't work and doing the same." Hospitalists and intensivists described primarily cognitive examples of poor performance, such as when patient presentations were disorganized, lacking in information, inefficient, rushed, or lacking in synthesis. These things were considered to be signs of cognitive overload. For example, intensivist 7 said, "One of the things is the presentation, if the big picture is lost, when there's not a clear summary and action plan." Hospitalist 5 said, "Presentations not feeling like they're well thought out is often a symptom of being overwhelmed and an inability to think through things, or even inaccurate assessments like saying the patient is stable when the patient clearly is not." Nonverbal physical manifestations. Endoscopists, hospitalists, and intensivists alike said that how learners carried and used their bodies could visually convey nonverbal evidence of cognitive overload. Examples included autonomic cues, including sweating, flushed skin, becoming tearful and crying, facial expressions. For example, endoscopist said, "You can see it on their face. They're freaking a little bit." Hand movements. Endoscopist 1 said, "You could see some of those frustrated gestures." Posture. Endoscopist 12 said, "You can just see how they're standing." And general appearance or countenance. Hospitalist 3 said, it seems like they're not understanding what's going on, and they seem frazzled or disorganized, or they look disheveled. Or, hospitalist 8 said, just how they appear, how their countenance appears, their overall nonverbal responses, and their level of interest or enthusiasm. Verbal utterances. All groups of participants describe verbal utterances, that is, words and sounds, that they perceived might indicate cognitive overload. Endoscopists primarily mentioned sighing. For example, endoscopist 17 said, you can tell someone's getting exasperated because they're sighing a lot. Hospitalists and intensivists alternatively described conversations in which learners directly reported feeling overwhelmed or reported worry about patients, which participants interpreted as evidence of cognitive overload. For example, hospitalist 11 said, a lot of times interns will tell you, I'm feeling overwhelmed by this patient. It's important to listen to that. And sometimes they will not use the term overwhelmed, and instead they will say, I'm really worried about the patient. Interpersonal interactions. Participants from both environments indicated that learners' interactions with other team members revealed evidence of cognitive overload. However, endoscopists more commonly describe lack of responsiveness to communication from team members, whereas ICU teachers tended to describe more team-oriented interpersonal interactions between learners and the interprofessional team. Endoscopists reported that the learners' limited responses to questions or instructions suggested the learner was cognitively overloaded. For example, endoscopist 13 said, there are times when the fellows are just tuning you out and are not responding to verbal instructions. They're sort of in their own head and not able to hear the feedback or adjustment. It has nothing to do with them being sensitive to feedback, but more to do with not being in a position mentally to improve or adjust or change during the procedure. Endoscopists also described a lack of responsiveness to patient discomfort during endoscopy. For example, endoscopist 1 said, the reason I knew that they were struggling is I could hear that the patient was in pain. I think the fellow was just so focused on trying to finish the procedure. Everything else around them almost became quiet. Abrupt, terse, or dismissive communication with members of the interprofessional team was considered by hospitalists and intensivists to evidence an overloaded learner. For example, intensivist 7 said, most telling is, in their interactions with staff, with nurses, with respiratory therapists, pharmacists, the usual way of interacting with people on the interdisciplinary team is expressing thanks for information and incorporating it and acknowledging what was said. But if it's replaced by, oh, or, well, okay, or, yeah, but in any case, when sort of normal interactions, normal behavior goes by the wayside, that can be a sign. Or where somebody didn't take something seriously or was just kind of gruff or short with somebody, I think that can be a sign as well. Discussion. In this qualitative study examining the perspectives of attending physicians, we identified 4 behaviors and manifestations they felt indicated a cognitively overloaded workplace learner: poor performance, nonverbal physical cues, verbal utterances, and interpersonal interactions with teachers and with the interprofessional team. In health professions education workplaces, factors such as complexity and unpredictability, lack of control, idiosyncratic patient assignments, and the competing demands of multiple stakeholders make workplace learning a setup for cognitive overload, which interferes with learning. If teachers were able to identify overloaded workplace learners in real time, they could intervene to mitigate sources of cognitive overload and promote learning. Although cognitive overload has been mentioned in classroom and workplace-based studies and has been the subject of commentary, techniques to identify overloaded learners have been limited to physiologic measures and secondary task responses. These are infeasible for everyday use in authentic health professions education workplace environments. The insight gained from this explorative research, drawing on qualitative methods, helps to fill this important knowledge gap. We wanted to study the phenomenon of cognitive overload, yet we were concerned that participants might not be familiar with that specific term, and therefore our interview guides asked about overwhelmed learners. Furthermore, several participants referred to learners whom they felt to be struggling. It is important to consider whether being cognitively overloaded, overwhelmed, or struggling are identical, similar, or different states. We consider cognitively overloaded and overwhelmed as similar constructs, and we treat them as such in this paper. The cognitive load theory literature has not addressed this semantic consideration. We found only one paper that used both terms, which treated them as similar. By contrast, struggling may theoretically be productive if it promotes learning, or unproductive if it is so excessive that it leads to cognitive overload. These semantic considerations highlight a limitation of our methodology, specifically that we analyze stories that teachers told about learners whom they perceived to be cognitively overloaded. It is possible that some of the learners described by participants were not actually cognitively overloaded. Some may have been experiencing other negative affective states such as stress, fear, anger, anxiety, or fatigue, which participants interpreted as cognitive overload. However, such states are thought to impact on extraneous load and potentially on germane load. Likewise, by describing poor performance as evidence of cognitive overload, participants were tacitly implying that their learners were motivated to perform. Yet apathy, rather than cognitive overload, might equally contribute to poor performance. In the absence of empirical evidence, we felt this explorative study using qualitative methods was important to begin developing a framework for further study of cognitive overload. There may well be other manifestations of cognitive overload that might be revealed through observational studies. Particularly useful might be observing from evidence of cognitive overload within health professions education workplaces, while actively monitoring mental workload using unobtrusive physiologic measures, such as heart rate variability. Comparisons among different workplace environments may be enlightening, and it will be important to study learners' perspectives. Cognitive load theory is most informative when the three types of cognitive load, intrinsic, germane, and extraneous, are considered. As these load types refer to invisible processes that occur within the working memory, we did not ask participants to speculate on what type of load might have contributed to their learner's apparent overload. However, potential sources of extraneous load, such as distractions and unclear instructions, were mentioned infrequently, whereas potential source of intrinsic load, accomplishing workplace tasks, and germane load, constructing and refining learning schemas, were frequently discussed. This is consistent with findings in our prior work, which revealed quantitatively higher amounts of intrinsic and germane load compared with extraneous load in workplace learning and gastrointestinal endoscopy. Whereas sources of extraneous load may be more readily identifiable and targeted within some workplace environments, we recognize that dealing with intrinsic and germane load may be more important in efforts to reduce cognitive overload and promote learning. A robust literature supports the notion that overly high levels of intrinsic load interfere with learning and performance, as can any degree of extraneous load. Yet, we do not know whether a learner can be overloaded by germane load. Scholars usually conceptualize working memory as attending to intrinsic and extraneous load first, with germane load being relegated to whatever working memory capacity remains. However, we can envision a learner so focused on learning and understanding, germane load, that they neglect essential task completion, intrinsic load. This could foreseeably lead to poor performance, inattention to communication, and other manifestations we report. Prior work suggests that teachers can help workplace learners modulate and balance cognitive load. Based on the findings of the present study, we propose two potential approaches. Firstly, the promotion of an environment in which learners feel safe to report feelings of cognitive overload might reduce extraneous load by diminishing feelings of shame or other negative emotions that may accompany cognitive overload. Secondly, pointing out to learners that they appear overloaded might enhance learners' self-awareness and metacognition, which can promote germane load. Both of these strategies would encourage open lines of communication between learners and teachers. Although our study did not address educational strategies, we speculate that applying such strategies to reduce cognitive overload over time could reduce risk for burnout among health professions education workplace learners. Just as the environments and practice patterns of the GI endoscopy suite and the ICU differ significantly, teachers in these two settings tended to describe different ways in which the four manifestations of overload were enacted among their learners. We speculate that this relates to how and why communication occurs in these two settings. Patient care in the ICU environment is complex and fast-paced, and essential tasks require frequent interpersonal communication amongst members of the interprofessional team. This may underlie hospitalist and intensivist tendencies to describe interpersonal manifestations of overload within a more sociocultural context, that is, within the context of relationships amongst various team members. Conversely, gastrointestinal endoscopy is a largely individual undertaking focused on procedure completion rather than interpersonal communication. During GI endoscopy, there are often extended periods of silence. Communication is often brief and directive, and research indicates that endoscopy learners prefer their teachers to minimize discussion. Accordingly, endoscopists tended to describe more individually oriented manifestations. It is possible that in a different environment, such as the operating theater, which demands both teamwork and individual procedural skills, a hybrid of overload manifestations might be seen. Cognitive load theory provides a fairly reductionist view of learning focused on the activities of the individual's working memory, yet workplace trainees learn and experience cognitive loads situated within communities of practice and embodied within physical workplace settings. This suggests the relevance of theories of situated learning and embodied cognition. Situated learning theory holds that the occurrence of learning is not isolated within an individual cognitive vacuum, but rather is embedded in everyday work performed within communities of practice. Theories of embodied cognition similarly eschew the learning in a vacuum view and hold that, given the interconnectedness of mind, body, cognition, and the environment, cognitive processes occur within the context of sensory-motor processes that exist in physical learning environments. Therefore, differences in the social dynamics, team structures, mechanisms of legitimate peripheral participation, guided participation, physical environments, and physical tasks of the endoscopy suite in the ICU, respectively, may have led GI endoscopists and ICU physicians to describe overloaded learners differently. Note that, although our study did not specifically seek to evaluate these environments, we as practitioners and researchers in these work environments are very familiar with them. That hospitalists and intensivists perceive similar manifestations, and that these differed from those perceived by endoscopists, suggests that differences in embodied and situated learning, rather than physician specialty, might exert stronger influence. Although the physical and social environments are known to impact cognitive load generally, how embodied and situated interactions amongst teachers, learners, and settings affect cognitive load warrants study in diverse health professions education workplaces. We and others have noted potential for integrated cognitive load theory with other theoretical frameworks, and the foregoing presents such an opportunity for future study. Additional limitations. Not having performed direct observations, we cannot confirm whether overload manifestations actually differed between these two environments, or whether they were perceived and constructed differently by teachers as a result of their lived experiences as clinicians and teachers within these environments. Whereas future observational studies might help to clarify this issue, we felt that initial explorative research was needed to inform future observational studies, particularly given the unpredictable nature of workplace settings. We acknowledge the limitation of performing a secondary analysis of interview transcripts collected for other studies. Member checking was not employed, the main focus of the interviews was not on cognitive overload, and neither study reported on overload. However, the interview guides had questions that generated content appropriate to this investigation. We considered the two very different environments to broaden the applicability of our findings. Conclusions. This study revealed four primary behaviors described by workplace teachers and trainees they observed and perceived to be cognitively overloaded. We suggest that teachers and learners alike should monitor for signs of cognitive overload and respond accordingly to promote workplace learning. Future investigation should consider the perceptions and experiences of learners, involve observations within health professions education workplace learning settings, and assess for types of cognitive load contributing to overload.